We're on with David Fowler, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
I feel like we've talked about new prime ministers in the UK many times since you and I first started doing these thought leader conversations. They've gone through quite a few in recent years, and economic problems galore in the UK. Talk to us about what has happened this week and where things stand.
Well, it's certainly, you know, I think you're right to say that we've talked about quite a few. I think it's four that we've gone through so far. And as you, as your listeners may or may not know, one of the British tabloids, the Daily Star, had a little competition going last week and the week before when Liz Truss sacked her Chancellor of the Exchequer, which would be kind of like similar to the Secretary of the Department of Treasury here. There was a competition going on whether a head of iceberg lettuce would last longer than Liz Truss as PM, and I'm happy to report that the iceberg lettuce did win. So, yeah, after 45 days of complete turmoil, Liz Truss left office this week. But we have to remember that for the last year and a half, really since kind of towards the end of COVID, when a lot of the news started coming out about what was happening under Boris Johnson and the way that COVID rules were allegedly not followed, there's been a lot of buildup and a lot of kind of general dissatisfaction with how the government has been running. You know, that led to Boris Johnson's demise at the beginning of the summer, Liz Truss's being elected to head of the Conservative Party, which makes her prime minister, and then her immediate, very short removal 45 days later, and now we have Rishi Sunak starting off, and we'll see how he does. But it's been very traumatic. Polls are appalling for the Conservatives. Last week, the Labour Party held a 30-point advantage over the Conservatives, which is the largest gap ever recorded by this particular polling company, and it's been going for about 40 years. So the Conservatives are in trouble, and I think they're just trying to find some way to weather this through.
Well, they need to fix some economic problems, and some of those that were made even worse by Liz Truss when she was in office. Talk to us a little bit about how investors have been reacting to what's happening there, and is there any good news on the economic front in the UK?
Well, I think, you know, the short answer is there's none. But to be honest with you, the market did not like the idea of this kind of what was briefly called Trussonomics, which is the idea of completely unfunded spending, government spending. So she came out with a number of different tax cuts and things like this, really pointed at the upper end of the income spectrum, which smacks, you know, of poor politics, if nothing else. But certainly the markets collapsed. We saw sterling go to its lowest level ever against the dollar, just around 103. Now it has recovered from that. And it's kind of, you know, while it's still below 120, it's still, you know, considerably higher than it was during those particularly dark days. But the issues that face the UK are the issues that face most countries around the world, and certainly most of the Europeans. And they are that, you know, there was massive government spending during COVID in things like income support and stuff like that, which was not reflected by an increase in taxes. So, you know, the spending gap and the spending gap increased and increased and increased. And, you know, as I say, that happened throughout the European Union. It happened in the U.S. It happened across multiple countries around the world. But, you know, eventually those bills have to be paid. And the issue that the U.K. has had is that the idea of further unfunded spending or unfunded tax cuts, you know, scared the market. So we saw yields, government yields, double during Liz Truss, which means that the cost of borrowing for the government doubled for new borrowings. And that's a real problem. On top of that, you have energy issues, you know, energy price issues and supply issues, which are going to become more and more acute as we go into the winter. And the average Briton is looking at seeing their energy bill certainly doubling with the because of the energy cap, which theoretically is still there, but we just don't know whether it will be until we see the autumn statement in 2 weeks' time. The exchange rate has a real problem for all countries outside the U.S., frankly, because energy is priced in U.S. dollars. So as their currencies depreciate, the cost of energy increases, which means that the cost for homes, the cost for businesses, everyone is going to see a quantum increase in this area. And we've seen the beginnings of businesses closing in the U.K. and in other parts of Europe, but particularly in the U.K., because they just can't afford to pay these soaring energy bills. You have political uncertainty because, you know, who knows how long Rishi Sunak will last. 10 years ago, nobody would ever say something like that about a British prime minister. Now I think you can say it with certain validity because this is the third one since September. So, you know, there's a lot of issues that are going on. And certainly it looks like the UK, like other countries in, around the world, are going to see a recessionary readjustment where, you know, growth is going to temper. Unemployment might come up a little bit, and certainly inflation is going to be there. I don't think we're going to see the inflation that we saw in the 70s, but I think you could see persistent inflation between kind of, you know, around that kind of 5% a year, and that could last for, you know, for quite a while. So there are a lot of things to make people very cautious about investing in the UK and investing, you know, generally, like we see it in the stock market here, you see it in the stock markets elsewhere. You know, all of them have come off the bubble in a big way. And, you know, people are still kind of very nervous, I think, about whether it's going to be a physical investment in, you know, plant machinery or buildings and stuff like that, or financial investments like equities and bonds.
You talked about the energy sector. There's actually some fear that the grid may not survive the winter in Europe, that there may even actually be some blackouts. Talk to us a little bit about the energy problems and if how that would impact investors around the world.
Well, you know, looking at countries that are, you know, blacked out or have rolling blackouts doesn't, you know, inspire confidence in investing. And it's difficult. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, we had these issues in the 70s in Ireland, where we had, and throughout Europe, in fact, you know, there were periods where there were kind of rolling blackouts and brownouts and things like this. It's not going to be certainly encouraging any inward investment. And it also leads to political instability. And, you know, there's a lot of this, you know, a lot of this is because of what's happening, obviously, between Russia and Ukraine. You know, there comes a time when, you know, the public becomes somewhat, I don't want to say tired, but, you know, they are kind of, you know, tired of this happening to them. And, you know, everyone can, and I think that's the fear that you're going to see, that governments with the, you know, governments in Europe and possibly even here, start to temper back their support just because the costs involved. And I think, you know, so you have that. I think you certainly will have energy issues going forward because certainly this is the one lever that Russia can pull very easily. And, you know, the European Union, you know, much to their a great mistake that they focused on for the last 10 years is thinking that Russia was a steady and stable energy partner. You know, they're learning that lesson the hard way now. But it will affect, you know, because there are interconnections throughout Europe. The UK is part of some of those interconnections. And, you know, if there's less power, there's going to be less power for everybody.
Talk to us a little bit about the new guy, Rishi Sunak. I know you talked about the economic issues that some of the trust policies created. What do we expect from Sunak?
Well, he is much more of the kind of traditional conservative politician, to be honest. He's quite young. He's only 42, so he's one of the youngest prime ministers ever. He's the first prime minister of Indian background. And he was the chancellor under Boris Johnson. And people think he was a fairly safe set of hands during the COVID issues. So a little slow sometimes to help to increase some of the social welfare programs, but eventually he came around to do it. Jeremy Hunt, who is now the chancellor, is also seen in very much that same way. You know, they're the people who want to kind of balance the books, will probably look to cut some social spending in order to bring the government budget deficit more into line. When you're in a when you're the governing party where you face, you know, 20 to 30 points against you in the polls, is this going to be something that's going to be very popular? Probably not. And is this something that could mean that you have a long period of stable government? Probably not that either. So the markets kind of like him because, you know, he's better than what we had before. But, you know, once really the jury's out, I think, until we see the autumn statement, which was supposed to come out on October 31st, but now it's coming out November 17th. The markets could have been spooked a little bit by that, but I think they're looking at us being, okay, they want to basically go through everything themselves and come up with a plan that makes sense for now. But, you know, this is not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant, and everyone's going to feel some pain.
What would be the advice then for investors, international investors, investors here in the U.S. about dealing with the U.K.? Avoid it at all costs, or are there investment opportunities?
I'd be a brave man to put a big investment in right now. It could be, you know, a great idea, but you'd have quite a few sleepless nights. I think the prudent person is going to sit and wait and see what happens, which is not great for the UK because they've always been kind of, since Brexit, they've wanted to tout the, you know, we are unchained from the shackles of Brexit, which allows us to, you know, grow and have different regulations and all that kind of stuff. And the reality has been that the UK has had lower growth than the European Union every year since they left. They have a higher unemployment, and their fiscal situation is in worse spot. So they haven't really been able to capitalize on whatever kind of fictional benefits there would have been from leaving the European Union. And certainly currently that's not going to help. You know, our current situation is not going to help them in that either. So I think it's kind of sit and wait.
David, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, certainly you can always get us on the desk. The trading desk number is 866-524-8836. Or my email address is david.feller@associatedbank.com.
We'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.